I'm now going to start at the beginning again. Visualize your spine. Pure energy, drawing out of the central source of all energy itself, runs through the spine, out through the nerve system. Runs through the spine, out through the astral body, out through the physical body, through the central and sympathetic nerve system. Pure energy and awareness are one and the same thing. Our individual awareness flows through the spine, and we are aware of pure energy. Finally, we become aware of our nerve system. Finally, we open our eyes and we see the world around us. We begin to see things. We are conscious of things, and we are conscious of the pure energy in our spine. Now awareness moves out into the strata of the mind where concepts are. Each concept is made of sound, it's made of color. We move into one area of concepts and of sound and color, we become aware of them. This time awareness is colored. As soon as awareness becomes, in a sense, shrouded or colored or conscious of colors, then we think, in a sense, that we are thinking, or that is called thinking. Our aura begins to change. When we were conscious of the pure spine and energy, our aura was just radiating white and yellow, beautiful white and yellow light and rays. Now we move into the area of the mind where we are just flowing out into the strata of color and sound, and we begin to see mental pictures, say for a house, for instance, and animals and people and a friend of ours. And we say to ourselves, we're thinking. We're simply aware of the strata of the mind where all those things always have existed, all these forms always have existed. As soon as the awareness is shrouded by color, our aura begins to turn the same color as the areas that we're flowing through in thought. If someone else is tuned in with us, they begin thinking in the same area that we are, therefore, a thought transference from one person to another is affected. It's not really a thought transference. It is that because two people or two states of awareness are close to one another, they sort of like take hands and flow into the same area of the mind where these thoughts already exist. This is the way it works in the inner realm of the mind. The wording that has come in the English language has made it seem like thoughts are like balls that get tossed from one person to another or at one person from another. One person makes a ball and he actually creates it out of nothing, and then he throws it at another person. The other person either catches it or dodges it, depending on the consistency or whether he wants it or not. When you go in, within far enough, you go in and in and in to the very essence of energy itself, and then you come out, you see how it actually is. This is the way I have experienced it. Experience it this way yourself, and you'll come into a vast universe will open up inside of you, and you will see many things, know many things about sound, and color, and thought, vibration, and the human aura itself. Thought forms are another wonderful thing to study. You've all heard of thought forms traveling from one person to another. Oh, I caught your thought, you've heard people say, as if a thought form has traveled through the air from one person to another. This is not exactly what happens. Thought forms don't travel exactly in that way as you would throw a ball. What is a thought? A thought has a certain vibration. A thought has a certain shape. It has certain colors. But it is an area of the mind in which we communicate with other people, as well as in which we become conscious of form. When we're in deeper areas of the mind, we're not conscious of form at all. We're more conscious of formlessness or pure inner space. We come into a network, and it actually looks like a network of cross currents, just like a tremendous, tremendous web, a layer upon a layer and upon layer and upon layer. And these are all thoughts. If you and I are in absolute harmony, or if we know each other, we have had an acquaintance, then you have the power to draw my awareness into the same area of the mind that you're aware of, and I have the power to draw your awareness into the same area of the mind that my awareness is in. This is what we do in conversation. I start talking with you and I tell you I'm in a certain area of the mind. I make you aware of the same area. As if we were to be travelers around the world, we'd all be in the same part of the city together. Therefore, then when we're away from each other, and if you catch a thought of mine, it's simply because we're tuned in, and I have caused you to be aware of the same area of the mind in which I'm in, and therefore we communicate through this one single channel. It's like a wire, which is a thought form. Thought forms are, in a sense, like electrical wires through the inner ether of a certain area of the astral plane. Likewise, if you're thinking about me, you draw my awareness to the same area of the mind, and I hook into the same thought form that you are hooked into, and we begin to communicate. Then we move from thought form to thought form. You move from thought form to thought form logically, and I move from thought form to thought form logically to following your awareness, and I get your message. And vice versa, you would get my message, and that's how communication is done through thought forms. Visualize great, big, long tubes between people. Each one is a thought. And each one is connected to certain brain structure within us, certain language structure. Each one has a conglomeration of colors through it, depicting different emotions. You're at the end of about 100 of these tubes, and I'm at the other end of about 100 of these tubes. Our individual awareness moves from one to another. If I'm aware of you, and you're aware of me, you can move from one thought to another, and I will do the same at the other end of the tube. See, the thoughts are always there. We don't make them. We move our awareness to where they are. 100 other people could be tuned in to the same area at the same time. This is the way inventions come. People think of the same thing at the same time and invent the same thing at the same time in different parts of the world, because they all move into the area of the mind where it already is at the same time. They're all inwardly connected in some way. When, and you've heard of negative thoughts, if a friend of yours is having negative thoughts toward you, he's moving into the area where negative thoughts exist. He draws your awareness into the negative thought area, and you begin responding to the negative thoughts, and you feel them through your entire body. The body's like a radio, picking up these beams. If you don't want to tune into negative thoughts, then you have to deliberately move your awareness to an area of the mind that's always thinking positively. How do thoughts affect the aura? If we're thinking in a positive way, we're tuned into All the other people in the world that are thinking the same way. We're actually communicating with them in a way. Since we're aware of this area of the mind where these powerful thoughts exist, which are existing in a state of sound as well as a conglomeration of colors, our energy then is in tune with that area of the mind, and it affects our aura, and our aura turns into the same colors as our awareness is of penetrating that area of the mind where these thought forms are, or these long tubes which interrelate between people. Nice to visualize them as tubes. Actually, they're vast layers of the mind. Each one has its own programming and its own intensity. When our aura is affected by the thoughts, then our physical body and central and sympathetic nerve system is affected, and we even begin to look in the same way that we think. We move awareness into a different area of the mind, then apparently we begin to think differently. Actually, we are aware of an area of the mind that is constantly so-called thinking that way or vibrating that way. And we begin to look differently. Our physical body looks different. Our aura looks different. Why? We have hooked our inner power, our pure life force, into that particular layer or strata of the mind, which we call thinking, and it's thinking in a certain way. Words are rather cumbersome to explain these inner things. When we have our awareness in the external world and we think the external world is real and that the body is also real and the inner self is rather elusive, then we think that we're doing everything. We're actually making thought forms. We're actually making ourselves happy, or we make ourselves unhappy, and we're doing the whole thing, which is a very limited perspective. As soon as we go within ourselves far enough, we find that we're not doing the entire thing, that it's already done, it's already finished, and we're simply an individual awareness flowing through the vast universe of the mind, and thus perceiving, looking, and experiencing as we go. Thought forms are almost exactly the same as television beams, which are sending out, which are a whole strata of color and sound in the inner ether, which then can be picked up as pictures through a television set. When someone is thinking about you, suppose someone is thinking about me very strongly. They might be just thinking about me in a very general way. What would I first see right before me in the inner ether? I would see their face. Because a person's face is a conglomeration of the entire strata of the world of thought in which he is generally flowing through most of the time. This puts constructs the face of the astral body. The astral body is composed of astral atoms. The physical body is composed of physical atoms. The physical body is only an external shell for the astral body. The astral body is what has this power to react emotionally. The physical body only reacts to its reactions. Secondarily, the astral body has immediate reaction. That's why you feel the astral body inside the physical body reacting before the physical body actually reacts to that reaction. Something happens. You perceive it with your physical eyes, and you tune into that entire thought flow very, very quickly. Then you feel it through your nerve system, and you feel something in your tummy. The astral body has immediately begun to react. Maybe a few minutes later, your stomach starts getting upset as a result of the reaction that was finally picked up by the physical body and the muscle structure and the bone structure and so forth. When the physical body drops off, Then you live in the astral body on the astral plane. Astral plane's a plane just like this, also already created. And you move, you talk to people, you see people on that plane. If you have ever had the experience of leaving your physical body, I have. I've left my physical body in my astral body, walked right through a room, turned around, saw the physical body laying on a bed there, came back, got in the physical body, and got it up again. That surely is proof that there is an astral body. Well, of course, literally thousands and thousands of people have had that experience, and it's quite an ordinary experience. You have probably had that experience too, one time or another in your life. In the astral body, that is the body that really has the most activity, more activity than the physical body itself. And it is through that body that we shine out the aura. If the astral body and the astral atoms become very refined, the aura is very refined, very beautiful, and great rays of light come out from it, from the superconscious mind. If the astral body is very gross, and reactions are rather instinctive rather than spiritual reactions, then the aura is not clear. It is not positive. It's rather mucky. It's rather muddy to look at. Here's some things we can meditate on. Some aphorisms from my book, Cognizant Ability. Observation is the first faculty of awakening the superconscious regions. The power of observation is the first faculty of the awakening of the superconscious regions. This observation is cultivated by abstinence of excessive talk. Talk dissipates the energies of the aura and of the vital body of man. A mystic generally doesn't talk very much. Intuition works through reason, but it does not use the processes of reason. Any intuitive breakthrough will be quite reasonable, but it doesn't use the processes of reason. The process of reason takes time. Superconscious acts in the now. All superconscious knowing comes to you in a flash out of the nowhere. Intuition is more direct than reason and far more accurate. These are nice areas to ponder over, but apply them to yourself. Take them in. Take them into yourself and say, this is written about me. Not this is written by Master Supermunya for me to read about the superconscious mind and the processes of reason. Take them in, apply it to yourself, read it like this. Observation is one of my finest faculties, one that I most cherish. It is the first faculty of the awakening of my superconscious regions. I have good observation, therefore I am superconscious. This now helps me program my subconscious mind to accept the fact that I am a superconscious being, not a temporal being that's only on this planet a short span of years and then I disappear. This observation is cultivated in me by abstinence of excessive talk, and I certainly have a blabbermouth, wasting and dissipating most of my vital powers of energy, and I can't wait to talk about my meditation even before I come out of it. And I really have to stop doing this because it certainly proves to everybody I'm not a superconscious being. And to my subconscious mind too, and I have to be careful about that because it's taken me a long time to bring it up to the point where it even accepts that I'm a half superconscious being. My intuition works rather rapidly, and it's generally very reasonable, but it doesn't use the process of reason. When I want to really reason something out, it takes me an awful lot of time. When I get an intuitive flash, it's right there. Then if I want to prove it, I have to reason it out, and generally, I have found that reason and intuition both meet. Intuition is more direct than reason. That's why I always use intuition. I always go in and in and in and in and in and find answers from within myself rather than scurry around in the externalities of the mind and waste my time in that particular way. Take it in. Apply it to you. Make every metaphysical, philosophical area work within you. Don't carry all this around in your intellect because it'll burden your intellect. And then you'll have to forget it and start all over again and still apply it to you. The superconscious mind is the most wonderful area of the mind that there is. Though, awareness is not always in it. We're not always aware in the superconscious mind because we're generally in the sub-superconscious aware of the conscious mind or aware of our own subconscious mind. But the more and more we detach awareness from subconscious minds, from conscious mind attachments, the more superconscious do we become. When we feel like we're just totally in the moment, as if there's no past, there's never been any past, and there's no future certainly, we're just intensely a vibrating entity of the moment, that is superconsciousness. And that's very real. That's more real than a table, a chair, an automobile, or the person sitting next to you. That feeling of being an intense sheath of energy right in the moment. No past, no future. That is superconsciousness. You see yourself as just pure life force, flowing through people, flowing through trees. I've seen myself as pure life force, flowing through a jungle, through trees, through plants, through water, through air. That is superconsciousness. That's so permanent. That's so real. Nothing could touch it. Nothing could hurt it. When we see the external world as a dream and things begin to look transparent to us, people begin to look transparent. That's superconsciousness. When we look at a physical object and we begin to see it sort of scintillating in light and it begins to look transparent, that's superconsciousness. That's a very beautiful state to be in and a very natural state. Occasionally in deep meditation, we see the head filled with an intense light. And we know that that is the natural state of man. That is superconsciousness. When we can look at another person and know what he's thinking, know how he's feeling, you know how the programming of a subconscious mind is. You just look at him and all of a sudden he regresses right back, possibly into a past life, and you can project him off into the future. Right in the eternity of the moment this happens, all at once. That's the superconscious mind that you're in so naturally, without striving, without fuss, without bother. No technique gives you these experiences. As you, in a sense, walk the path, you walk right into them. And that, the experience is how you are. Occasionally, you close your eyes in meditation. You may see a face of your guru or some divine being that possibly once lived on earth and now just the shell of the most subtle body remains vibrating in the ethers. You're seeing superconscious beings while being in the superconscious area of the mind. Occasionally, you hear clairaudiently voices singing, music playing, like Beethoven heard his wonderful symphonies and wrote them down like a scribe. The superconscious mind again. So near, so real, so vibrant. And when you're so engrossed in the energies within you, within the physical body itself and the energy within that and that within that, that you just feel that peace of the central source of all energy, that too is superconsciousness. Being on the brink of God realization, the void, having lost consciousness of the physical body, and of being a mind, you're only conscious of a vast bluish-white light. You get into this through going into the clear white light and sort of out through the other side of it. You get into just pure consciousness. It's a vast blue, clear white light, endless, endless inner space. That's just on the brink of the absolute, just on the brink of God realization, when we're in this beautiful, beautiful, blissful state of pure consciousness. We're just barely, barely conscious that we're there, because to have a consciousness of being conscious, we have to become conscious of another thing, so to speak. And these are wonderful signposts on the path. All within your immediate grasp, within this life, just as the ability to sit down at a piano or an organ and play it beautifully is in the immediate grasp of you in this life. It just takes practice, following the rules and practice. And the shortcut is hard work. So you begin to see the vastness and yet the simplicity of the superconscious mind. As awareness flows through it, there's nothing for awareness to attach itself to, for it is the natural state of awareness to be aware in superconsciousness. And occasionally in superconsciousness, we can feel and actually see within the inner body, the body of the soul itself. And we feel this body inside the physical body. This is the body of light. And we know that this body has existed and will exist forever and ever and ever. And we move within the energies of this body. We find the energies within this inner body, they're different than the ones that flow through the physical body. We become so quiet, so centered, that awareness is aware of itself so intently that we're right on the brink of the absolute, ready to dissolve into that which is man's heritage on earth to realize the maturity of his being. We grow up physically. We grow up emotionally. We acquire a lot of knowledge. If we acquire the best knowledge, the cream of all knowledge, It is the knowledge of the path to enlightenment, the Advaita Yoga path. And then we begin to experience, as awareness soars within the realms of superconsciousness, man's natural state, and then we have our ultimate experience, yin kaif, of awareness dissolving into itself, beyond superconsciousness itself. So we have to adjust ourselves to the idea that we are a superconscious being rather than an instinctive being or an intellectual being or a being driven by the impulses of the five senses, but a superconscious being predominantly. That is the core of us. If we dropped off this physical body today, we'd be a superconscious being without a physical body. If we stepped into another physical body tomorrow, we'd be a superconscious being with another physical body that was different than we had yesterday. A whole new different subconscious mind and an entirely new different environment. Visualize us all sitting down in meditation and dropping off the physical body, stepping out of it in our superconscious body, going over to Vietnam or Cambodia and picking up a brand new body, stepping into it, adjusting our nerve currents within it, getting it up off the battlefield and putting it in the hospital and healing it up, and going home to its parents with a purple heart, no less, with a whole new subconscious mind to get adjusted to, a whole new environment, an entire new five senses. Now, this new body would soon forget that it's a superconscious being. It would think it was Joe from Minneapolis. Just got home from the war. But the superconscious being of it would know that it was a superconscious being. And finally, Joe would begin to know it too. New rays of light would be coming through Joe's aura. The subconscious would be quickly reprogrammed, and pretty soon Joe would be a man who meditated the very same way you're meditating here before you dropped off this body and picked up Joe's body on the battlefield without very much break in continuity. That gives you a short look at reincarnation that you can adjust to very quickly. There's one theory of reincarnation that we don't have to come back as little babies, that we can come back as full-grown people. We know how to do it. A more evolved person can do that. A less evolved person can come back as a child, or has to, because that is the process that is most easy or most natural. More evolved person could come back as a child, pick up a body along the way, do almost anything he wants in the reincarnation process because he knows all of the inner laws. This is one of the fringe benefits of being in the superconscious body and knowing how to live in it consciously, become consciously superconscious. How do we know when we're superconscious? It's not easy to know when you're superconscious. It's more easy to know when you're not superconscious than when you are superconscious. Because your superconsciousness is such a natural state. It's such a beautiful state. It's such a full, wholesome state to be in that you're not aware, generally, that you are super conscious. When you are not feeling too good within yourself, you're not super conscious. When you are feeling really good and satisfied within yourself, you are super conscious. When your timing is right, when everything happens just right during the day, you are super conscious. When your timing is wrong and nothing seems to happen right, then your awareness is flowing through one of the congested areas of the thought realm when everything seems to go wrong. And of course, you're not super conscious at that time. You're flowing through an instinctive area or an intellectual area. When you're arguing with yourself, you're not super conscious. You're flowing through an area of the intellectual mind and you're taking two points of view and you're flowing from one to another. When you're discussing something with someone, you're not super conscious. For super consciousness is a one-way street. You speak out right from the core of existence, and that's it. Without really thinking about what you're going to say. You just speak out and hear what you said afterwards. When you're arguing with someone, you're not super conscious. You've moved into a congested area of the thought strata of the mind, and you're verbalizing it. You're congesting your aura, and you'll have to unwind awareness out of that area of the mind back into super consciousness again. When you're disturbed about yesterday, or even have a consciousness that there is a yesterday, if you're not in a super conscious state, when you're afraid, you're not in a superconscious state. When you're peaceful, when you're calm, when you're in the eternity of the moment, when you feel secure on the inside of you, you are in a superconscious state. Superconsciousness is not something you will get because you've never been without it. If you weren't super conscious this very minute and functioning in all five states of the mind this very minute, you couldn't even answer that question or continue it. It would be impossible. All we have to do is become aware of the totality of our being, and it doesn't take a lot of time. The easiest way, the simplest way, is simply be aware of the spine and the energies within the head. Locate the consciousness of energy. Be aware of energy. When we're aware of energy, we automatically forget what we were previously aware of. It fades away. We leave the consciousness of the instinctive intellectual area of the mind and we move into super consciousness. We immediately, if we can remain totally centered in our awareness of the energy within our spine and the energy within our head, and then open our eyes, we become aware of the same energy within everybody and everything that we see. We're immediately in a superconscious state. Therefore, the simple thing is, stay that way for the rest of your life. It's just that easy. But it's not that simple, because we have already trained our awareness to move in other channels of the mind, and it will do that automatically. As soon as we cease to be aware of the energy within our spine and come into the so-called normal consciousness, or the area of the mind that we have been more accustomed to flowing in rather than other areas of the mind, then we forget that we are a superconscious immortal being and we think we're only temporal. We think that there's a past, we think that there's a future, We think that now is an insecure time. We would rather lean on other people than lean on our own spine. And we have to then meditate to go deep within ourselves again to find superconsciousness. Being around people who center awareness within makes it easy. Being around people who center awareness in the external areas of the mind makes it difficult because they draw your awareness in the external areas of the mind, of the thought strata. People who really value awareness being hooked, shall we say, into the inner areas of energy and study that function of energy, draw your awareness in that. And then you see from inside out, and you see from inside of everything that you see out. You look at a tree. You first see the energy within the tree. Then at last, you see the bark. When you're in an outer consciousness, first you see the bark of the tree, and then you intellectually surmise that there must be energies within it because you happen to notice that a leaf was growing, so it must be alive. How awkward awareness is when it's stumbling around in the external area of the mind, and how smooth awareness can flow freely when it's not fumbling around in the external area of the mind, but dynamically cruising in inner layers of inner space. As I mentioned before, we must not think the superconscious mind is way out of our reach simply because of the word super, because it's not. It's within us, it's always been within us. All we have done is get the subconscious mind programmed a little. We moved our awareness out of the conscious mind, and our journey is within. You are superconscious now. You don't have to get to be superconscious. It's not something that's going to all of a sudden happen to you, and then you will be different. The thing that's going to happen to you is that you will release your individual awareness from the so-called bondages of the habit patterns of the external mind that it had been accustomed to flowing through. Once it is released, then automatically you will flow in other inner areas of the mind because you've been studying about them. You might be wondering that if you are superconscious right now, why haven't you had the wonderful experiences that I've told you about? That's easy. We may be superconscious, but not consciously superconscious all of the time or for long enough times to have a beautiful experience. So when I say you are superconscious right now, that's true. You wouldn't even be hearing me talk about it. It's no accident our meeting and your hearing of this particular deep subject matter. Providential, I would say. It's at the proper time of your unfoldment. Though you are superconscious right now, awareness is still externalized enough so that you only touch into it just a little bit and are pulled back to the subconscious or pulled out to the conscious mind through practicing meditation. You learn to move awareness through the superconscious areas like a dancer would learn to move according to the rhythm of the music. But it takes practice for that dancer to learn the technique and to prepare himself. He has to live a particular lifestyle. The same way it is for the contemplative student. He has to live a particular lifestyle. He has to practice. He has to work with and exercise the currents of awareness so dynamically that he can flow into a superconscious area and remain there long enough to look around a little bit. You now know the map. Be renewed by a change of your mind. Be renewed by releasing awareness from one area of the vast universe of the mind, drawing it back into its source, and releasing it and sending it to another of the vast areas of the mind. The study of awareness itself. I am aware. What is the I am that is aware? Is the key to the entire study, the key to your entire progress on the so-called path of enlightenment. What is awareness? When you close your eyes and when you open them, what is it that is aware of what you see? When you look within, deep within, and feel energy, you almost begin to see energy. A little more perceptive, you do actually see energy as clearly as you see chairs and tables with your physical eyes open. But what is it that is aware? When awareness moves through superconsciousness, it seems to expand. For it sort of looks out into the vastness of superconsciousness from within yourself. What is awareness? Discover that. Go deep within it. Make it a great study. You have to discover what awareness is before you can realize the self. Otherwise, realization of the self is only a philosophy. It's a good philosophy. It's a stable philosophy. But philosophies aren't to be learned intellectually, memorized, and repeated. They're to be experienced step by step by step. Get acquainted with yourself as being awareness. Say to yourself, I am awareness. I am aware. I am not the body. I'm not the motions. I'm not the thinking mind. I'm just pure awareness. If you want to make a mental picture, and if that helps, visualize awareness like a round volleyball, a round white ball of light. This ball is being propelled through many areas of the mind, inner and outer. And it is registering all the various pictures. It has eyes on all sides of it. It is not reacting. The reaction comes when awareness is aware of the astral body and the physical body, and those bodies react. And we are aware of the reactions for these bodies. The physical body and the astral body are also part of the vast, vast universe of the mind. We're simply aware of living in them. And each individual awareness is encased in many bodies. First encasement is the body of the soul. The next encasement is the astral body. Then the next is the physical body. And there are several in between. The radiations are the aura. The places to go for awareness are into the wonderful stratas of thought, where thought actually exists in all of its refined states. First, we have the strata of thought where an idea is only in a partial overall concept, and then it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger until finally it almost takes physical form. And then finally it has taken physical form. But this individual, pure individual awareness is what is seeing all of these things. Now, the quest is not to keep traveling through the mind. Fine, we are conscious that we're awareness now at this point. A free awareness, a liberated soul, so to speak. Now we can go any place in the mind that we want to. The mission is, don't go any place. Turn awareness back in on itself and simply be aware that you're aware. And try to penetrate the core of existence. Become conscious of energy within the body and the inner bodies flowing out through the nerve system, drawing forth from the central source of energy of the universe itself. Now, try to throw awareness into this central source of energy and find out what it's all about. And dive deeper in. Each time you have become aware of something in the energy realm, you go into light. Finally, you go beyond light. And finally, you go into the core of existence itself, into the self, beyond that stillness of the inner areas of the mind. That is the mission. And that is what we're seeking. Total self-realization, which does not mean realization of your personality, which some people think that it means. I want self-realization. They think it means I want to realize that I'm an individual and not dependent upon my parents. I want self-realization. Some people think it means I want to realize my artistic abilities and be able to create. Doesn't mean that at all. That's all the external area of consciousness, the intellectual area of the mind. Self-realization is finding that which is beyond superconsciousness itself, beyond the mind, timeless, causeless, spaceless. After self-realization, awareness has a new home. It doesn't relate to the external mind anymore. It relates to the self as home base and flows out into the various layers of the mind and in again. Before self-realization, awareness was in the external mind trying to penetrate in the inner depths, and then it would go back into the external mind again, trying to penetrate in through the processes of meditation. After self-realization, the whole process of the flow of awareness is reversed. There are five states of mind: conscious, subconscious, sub of the subconscious, sub-superconscious, and superconscious. There is but one mind. And these five arbitrary breakdowns allow you to know where awareness is flowing through the mind. Mind and consciousness are synonymous. Awareness is man's individual spiritual being, pure intelligence of his spiritual body, flowing through this vast universe of the mind. We want to be able to flow awareness through any area of the mind that we want to, consciously, as we go in and in and in toward our great realization of the self, which is beyond mind, beyond time, beyond consciousness itself, beyond form. And yet, it is not an unconscious state. It is the essence of all being. The power which makes the electricity that flows through the wire that lights the light that illumines the room. When we sit and we're simply aware of being aware, and the currents of the body are so harmonized, and the aura has turned to streaks of light dashing out into the room, and we're sitting in our own perfect bliss, simply aware of being aware. Awareness itself turns in on itself enough to become the self, that which everyone is seeking. That is the sum total of the path. That's the path that all of you are on. That's the experience that if you keep striving, you will have in this very life, even if it's at the point of death. Then you'll reincarnate again as a great teacher on the planet and help many others through to the same goal. For there is no death, there is no birth, for the immortal body of the soul, which you are, that pure intelligence, which goes on and on and on and on and on and on, and in and in and in and in and in and in. Arrive at the ultimate goal. Make it your journey, your quest, wanted more than life itself. Our general greatest fear is death. Why? Because it's the most dramatic experience we've ever had in any one lifetime, generally. Therefore, we fear it. We're in awe of it. It's so dramatic that we don't remember really what happened. And those some people do. Very, very fine little book called Transition. Various people who have died and come back to life, and they tell about it. However, the body of the soul knows no birth, knows no death, goes on and on and on and in and in and in to its ultimate goal. Awareness aware of itself turns so much in on itself that it dissolves into the very essence of being itself. You can't say anything more about it, because to describe adequately the self, you wouldn't be describing it. For there are no words to describe it, for it's beyond time, form, cause, mind. And words only describe time, form, cause, and mind. You have to experience it to know it. And by experiencing it, you do know it. Nobody has to tell you that you have realized the self. You know it. And you know it more and more and more and more as the years go by, as various other areas of the mind give up their intricate knowledge, which has been programmed into it through the many lives, that there is nothing within man other than bones and blood and gizzard and liver. And little by little, as you go in and in and in, a complete washing out of the many lives, the many misconcepts, partial concepts, become changed. What happens? You simply become that being consciously, which you were all the time, but not aware of, because awareness was distracted in the instinctive, intellectual, subconscious areas of the mind. So go into this ultimate goal. It's easy. It's not out of your reach. Sit quietly. Be aware of being aware. Might be difficult at first. The distractions can be handled positively. After that, awareness will dissolve into the essence of its own being, and you will be that. Like the Hindu scriptures say, that, yet not that, yet none other.